By way of introduction, the shmooze, the ideas that I'm going to tell you now, are not my own. I heard the shmooze from Usher Zelig Rubinstein, Zichrono Livracha, and I found them to be very powerful, so I want to share them with you. Nase v'nishma. For whatever reason, and there are many reasons, Nase v'nishma is not in Parshas Yisro. It's in Parshas Mishpatim. The end of this week's parasha. The significance of Klal Yisrael saying Nase v'nishma is hard to grasp, perhaps. We're very used to it. Oh yeah, the Jew said, whatever it is, God, we want it. But when you look at the Chazals on Nase v'nishma, it seems like it's a really big deal. The Malachim scream out, Migila Razeh, who revealed our secret to humans? The Malachim are the ones that say Nase v'nishma, apparently. But for people to say it? Wow. That's apparently a very big deal. The world was shaking, the world changed. It was what makes Klal Yisrael into Klal Yisrael. Unless you have a grasp of it, it's hard to understand what's the great significance of Nase v'nishma. The simple explanation just seems to be that they said, okay, we're not going to ask any questions. God, whatever you say, we're going to do. Do you have anything to say? Well, that's part of the point, it seems, that the order is specifically Nase v'nishma. Because nishma means to understand, or maybe even just to hear the instructions. And Nase means we're prepared, we're ready, we accept whatever it is that you tell us to do. We're not even going to ask questions, we don't need to understand it, we don't even need to hear it, because it's just a matter of time before we do it, because once we hear it, we're going to do it. Whatever you say. That's like the simplest pshat. I don't know, to go deeper and further, but... You want to speak about it for a whole day? Oh. Yeah. So I want to just spend a few minutes, to understand, at least begin to understand the significance of Nase v'nishma. Let's try to understand at least what's not Nase v'nishma. How do you figure out what's not Nase v'nishma? So we all know the famous Midrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the other nations of the world, right? And he asked them, do you want the Torah? And what did they say? That was their question. They said, well, what does it say? Your interpretation of what's in it for us is an interpretation of the words ma ksiv ba. What does ma ksiv ba mean? What's written in it. Now, why do they want to know what's written in it? So your angle on it was because they want to know what they can gain from it, like what's in it for us. But are there other ways to look at it?
They want to know what they can't.
I mean, come on, right? You're going to sign a contract and accept something if you don't know what it says, right? You have a question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but okay, so you everybody knew. At this point, heard about what happened to Mitzrayim.
Oh, yeah,
what happened to them. So, in the right mind, why would they ever say, like, what's written in the Talmud? Like, you just saw what God did.
Apparently, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu is offering you something, that means you have the option of not accepting it. So, if it's optional, I want to know what it says.
But did he really offer it, or did he not want them to take it in the first place? Just imagine it's just kind of like...
Okay, kind of, yeah. So let's read. There are several versions of the Midrash. They're all similar, but whenever you have Midrashim, there are always nuances of differences between them for whatever reason. So we'll take a look. I guess we'll start with the way that it's quoted in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer.
What were the two nations accepted? Were the Jews like the last people we asked?
Well, let's see. It says like this. Yerida Hashishes, there were several times the Kaddish Baruch Hu, so to speak, came down to the world. The sixth one was Shiored L'Sina. Kadosh Baruch Hu descended to Har Sinai. Shenemar, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Yered, Yorad, he descended to Har Sinai. Shisha, Besivan, on the 6th of Sivan, according to this, Nigla Kadosh Baruch Hu al Yisrael, Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself on Har Sinai. Mum Koimoi, Nislosh Har Sinai, it became moved from its place. Nitva Shamayim, the Shamayim opened up. V'nichnas Reisha Harba Shamayim, the top of Har Sinai entered the realm of Shamayim. V'arafel Mechases Ahar, and this deep darkness covered the mountain. Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev al Kisoy, Kadosh Baruch Hu sat on his throne. V'raglav Omdois al Ha'arafel, his feet were standing on the darkness. Shneimar. Rabbi Tarfon, Oimer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Zarecha Kadosh Baruch Hu me har seir v'niglo b'nei Esav. Kadosh Baruch Hu shined from har seir and revealed himself on the children of Esav. So that's how the Medrash begins. V'yomer Hashem, mi Sinai bo, Hashem came from Sinai v'zorach mi seir lamoi. And he shined on Seir, ve'ein Seir b'nei Esav. Seir refers to the children of Esav. Shneimar, the Yeshav Esav Har Seir, because that's where he eventually lived, Har Seir. Amalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, to who are we talking about now? B'nei Esav. Mekablim atem es ha-Torah. Are you accepting the Torah? Amruloi ma siv ba. What does it say in it? Amar lahem, loy sirtzach. It says, don't kill. Amru loy, so Esav said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, leich mi manu, goodbye, and good luck. Ki ein anu yecholim la'azoiv es habracha. This is the way it's presented in this particular midrash. We're not able to abandon, to depart from the blessing Sheberich Yitzchak as Esav. That Yitzchak gave, what was the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Esav? Al charbecha tichye. You're going to live by your sword. Violence, murder. Misham chazav enigla b'nei Shmuel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu then went to b'nei Shmuel. Shnemar hofia mayhar paran. Amar lahem mekab matem as Torah. You guys want the Torah, Yishmael? Amar lahem, ksiv, ba. Amar lahem, loy signoiv. Don't steal. Amar lahem, they said, Takadish Berlin, anu yechayel lazev is a davar. Shas avisenu. We can't abandon our tradition. Shagun was Yosef, or Idulim Mitzrayim. Remember, what does loy signoiv actually mean in the Seres Adibur? It means don't steal? It means don't kidnap, right? Davar halam made me in yanoi. You learn out exactly what it means from the context. And because it's surrounded by capital crimes, loisignum has to be a capital crime as well. But stealing is not a capital crime. But kidnapping in certain situations is. And so what did they do? They kidnapped. They kidnapped Yosef. They brought him down to Mitzrayim. Yishmael. Ki gunoiv gunav timeretz ha'ivrim. Hashem goes to all the nations of the world. What do you mean? How can we stop doing Avodah Zarah? That's what we've inherited. That's our heritage. We don't want to give it to Klal Yisrael. Apparently it's for them. Hashem ois la'am yitain. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu goes to Klal Yisrael and they say, no questions. They don't ask Matziv Ba. They say, Nasa Benishma.
But did he ask us?
What?
Did he ask us? Like at what time? What period?
Har Sinai.
So, right. So, you know, it was like an obvious answer then because we were already like in touch with him, you know?
We had been saved, but everyone else was aware of the Nisim. That's what Yehuda was saying. But what's interesting is that the Medrash is clearly trying to draw a contrast between Klal Yisrael's Nasa V'Nishma versus what's not Nasa V'Nishma. What's not Nasa V'Nishma is to ask, what? What's the question? Ma? Ksiv? Ba?
But if Hashem Hashem did what he did for us to everyone else, then it might have been a different answer.
If what?
If Hashem did that all other nations what he did for us, then it might
have
been a different answer for us.
I have a different question. I hear what you're asking. Listen to this question. Do you think that it was fair the way a Kaddish Baruch Hu answered the nations?
He specifically wanted to look at it.
Right?
He never wanted them to say yes.
Yeah, so Kaddish Baruch Hu goes to the Italians. No offense to the Italians. He goes to the mafia. Goes to the Godfather, and he says, Luigi, you want my Torah? Anybody here with a good Italian accent? And Luigi says, Moksivba.
I don't think it's a Hebrew and Italian accent.
El Kaddish Baruch Hu tells him, Kabeid es avicha ve'es imecha. Honor your parents. And Luigi says, Mama! Papa! Father!
How about the family?
The Godfather Luigi's walking on the street with Mama, and Mama sees this wealthy woman coming down the street with this gorgeous diamond necklace, and she says, Luigi, I want that diamond necklace. And Luigi says, Mama, for you? Anything. It's a little problem. There's a head in the way. The problem.
They don't kill women and children.
Here you go, Mama. Just wipe off the blood. It's all yours. Luigi, you're the best son. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him Kabedes Avich Besimecha? Then he would have taken it, no? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks the one thing that they can't separate from. It's not fair. What's Pshat?
He chose us first.
But it's not fair. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks on the one thing that they identify with as Achar B'chatichya, this is our life? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu pick on the one thing that defines them and then say that that's what the Torah is about?
Because if they can overcome that challenge, then they can overcome all of
it. So why did it present it in that way? So why is it presented in that way?
Because that's the idea. The Torah is coming. It's not going to be something that you inherently can just do. It's going to challenge you. It's going to go against your very nature.
Because that's the purpose of Kabbalah Sater. The purpose of the Torah is what? Is to change your essential problem. Your most fundamental challenge that defines who you are. Because the Torah comes to be masakein your most fundamental flaw. Because that's why we're here. Maksiv bo. What does it say? It says that this is how you have to grow. This is how you have to change. No, 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 no. That's too threatening to my identity. I can't accept that. Nasa v'nishma is what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're yours. What does it mean? That we know why we're here. We're here to grow. We're here to change. We're here to become the people that we can be, that our neshama really is. So whatever it says we need to do, I accept it. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But it means I accept whatever it is because I know that the Torah is there. Why? To be misakein me. My essential flaw. Moshe Rabbeinu. He's Allah l'maroim to receive the Torah. He goes up to what's called maroim. He never got the shomayim. That's the Gemara we learned in Sukkah and Daf Hei. Remember? La'olam. Shechina never came down to Aretz. La'olam. Aretz never met Shamayim. And the Gemara has all of its kashas, if you remember that Gemara. Hey, Maral. And when Moshe Rabbeinu gets up to Shamayim, do you remember what happens? This wasn't in our Gemara. But Gemara in Shabbos, Pei Chesem, Beis, which discusses a lot of these Agada says about Har Sinai. That's where they all are in Gemara. So the Malachim get upset. And they say, God, what's a human doing here? Who let him in? Amalahen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to the Malachim lekabel Torah, but he came to receive the Torah. Amr lefanav. What? Chamuda genuza. Sheganuz lechadesh miyad shivim arba deres. This precious secret treasure that you've had for 974 generations before the world was created. Obviously, there's something significant to that number. And you want to give it to the stinky, ewy, fleshy people? We're malachim. We're pure. We're clean. We don't smell. We don't get sweaty. We don't have waste. Come on. Are you serious? What's a human? Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. The Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu, and what does he say? Hichzir lahem tshuva. Moses, answer them. Amar lefanav Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm a little scared that they are going to burn me up with their bad angel breath. Their fire! They're going to burn me up, I'm going to destroy them. I can't answer them. I'm not going to fight with a malach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Echoyes b'kisa kavodi, hold my throne, and then you'll be able to. V'chazal and tshuva, you'll be able to answer them." Rabbi Nachum Alamech, Shalkai Meziv Shchinas of Anan Elav, Kadosh Baruch Hu did whatever it is. That's referenced in our Gemara and Sukkah and Dafei as well. So what did he tell the malachim? Ready for this? Listen to the words. Ribbono shel Olam, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Shata Noisin Li. Remember, the Torah is not given yet. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to receive it, to then be given. Sorry. Listen to the Lashon. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what it says in the Torah. But he needs to know to argue with the Malachim that people deserve it more than angels. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah you're giving us, Ma Ksiv Ba. Interesting, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to argue with them. Well, I don't know what it says in the Torah yet. Ma Ksiv Ba. He's there to receive it. But he doesn't know what it said. So hold on. So, okay, hold on. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I exist to get a Mitzrayim. I'm a lehen. The Mitzrayim you're out of them. The power is out of them. Were you a Mitzrayim? Were you slaves to power? Obviously not. It's not for you. Why should it be yours? It doesn't make any sense. Shuv Maksifo. What else does it say, Kadosh Baruch Hu? Vayelecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Malachim and says, "Benagoyim atem shirin sha'ayivden avaydazar." You're around other nations of the world that you have an avaydazar around?
Shuv Maksiva, what else to say? Come on, Kodesh, throw something else. Zochrim Mashabas Lekadshoi. Huh? Klimat Dem Oisim Malacha.
You do Malacha, you work? That you have to take a rest on the seventh day?
What else? What else? Kodesh, give me something else. Laisisa.
Don't take a Kodesh Baruch's name in vain. Swearing falsely. You guys do business? No.
What else? Kabeh Sabicha Zimecha. You guys are parents? You guys are jealous of one another.
And finally, the Gemara concludes,
Yetzer Hara Yesh Beinechem?
Do you have a Yetzer Hara?
Miyad, Hoidu Loila HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Immediately, they admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do you learn this Gemara? Moshe Rabbeinu just made a lot of arguments. And then it says his last one was, do you have a Yetzer Hara? And it says immediately they agreed that Kadosh Baruch Hu was right. What do you mean immediately? Was it because of the last point? Or was the whole thing was considered all at once? So one way to read the Gemara is that the last point was the clincher. Do you have a Yetzer Hara? Because Dibur Torah cannot get Yetzer Hara. The purpose, one of the most fundamental functions of the Torah, is the Yetzer Hara. Each nation had its Yetzer Hara, had its fundamental flaw, and that's what the Torah is there to address. Let's say you invest in an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. It's a good investment, you know. Reb Lachman likes to say you should invest in cattle.
It's an expensive.
Yeah, because when Beis Hamikdash is built, probably gonna be a lot of people needing to bring a korban chatas for things, you know. So cattle would be a good investment. But an apartment in Yerushalayim, but the Maisi still live in America. But you want to be able to have your apartment when you want to go. So like everybody else, what do you do the rest of the year when you're not there? Rent it out. Rent it out. But you never know when you want to be able to stop by. So you have this great idea, a very normal thing happens all the time. You rent out the entire apartment, chutz, except for one room, which you always reserve for yourself in case whatever you end up having to come for whatever reason, for business, for pleasure, whatever it is. That is the room you keep all your stuff in and you have a bed there, whatever. That's your room when you need to when you need it. We accept the Torah with this little condition, you know. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm renting myself out to you, chutz, except for my maksivba, except for the one thing that I'm not willing to give up. That's too challenging for me. It's too essential to my nature. That's the one part of myself that I don't rent out. Chutz. Every single one of us has our chutz. Has our room that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That room I'm not ready to give up. Nasa v'nishma is without the maksivba. The maksivba is the room we're not ready to give up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nasa v'nishma means we're ready to give it all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without exception. We accept the Torah no matter what it may mean, no matter how threatening it may be to that part of our personality, that thing we don't want to get rid of. We all know what we're talking about. We all have that. We all have a part of us that we're so nervous to give up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not ready to do that yet. It's okay to fail. Yom Kippur is on the calendar. My wife makes a calendar. She sends out every Hanukkah. And you know, she puts Yom Kippur on the calendar, you know? It has the day every year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows we're going to mess up. It's okay. But it doesn't mean that you say, I can't accept it. That's not a mitzvah by me. That's not an avera by me. I'm not shomer that. That's a problem in the nasa v'nishma. The Kabbalah Satorah, which is what nasa v'nishma means, I accept it, means that I know what I need to do. I'm struggling. But I know that this is what I need to accept. And okay, sometimes I'm going to fail. But it doesn't mean that I say, I rent out myself chutz for this. It means we recognize, as challenging as it is, that this is something we struggle with. And that we work on it. And sometimes we fail. But it can't mean we don't accept it. We probably all heard before the Arizal say that everyone in our generation is a Gilgul. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
They say in the name of the Arizal that, you know, the Gemara Yevamos tells us that Ein Ben David Ba, Mashiach's not going to come until there are no more neshamas in guf, no more souls in the body. So Rashi on the spot says, it doesn't mean everybody's dead. It means that there's a place where all the neshamas are stored. That place is called guf. Those neshamas haven't been brought into a body yet. And Ein Ben David Ba, Mashiach won't come until there are no more neshamas in that place called guf. That's a powerful reason to have children. It's a step closer to Mashiach, every neshama that comes to the world. So they say, that Bizman Hazeh is Yemoisa Mashiach. There aren't any more neshamas beguf. Now's the time Ben David going to come. Everyone that's beguf, physically, our guf, Bizman Hazeh, that's what the Arizal said, is a Gilgul. He's back to fix himself. Now, I want to make a ha'ara that Rav Asher Zelig pointed out that maybe we don't think about, and it's really, when you think about this, this could theoretically, this could potentially change your life. Why would a person, perhaps every single one of us, come back begilgul?
We may have screwed up in the past.
Okay. So Benji says we might have messed up. Now, what does it mean to mess up?
Something that you struggled with your whole life that maybe Hashem, like you didn't complete the task of what Hashem wanted you to do, and so you came back so you can fulfill that, you can fix that.
Let me contrast it with the opposite. What if a person did Averos in his previous life? Does he come back with Gilgul because he did some Averos?
No.
So he'll go to Gehenna a little bit, he'll clean it up, and he'll get his Gan Eden in his own Abba. So what's the difference between an Avera and a person that has to come back with Gilgul?
But Gilgul is probably somebody who didn't complete his mission in life. So
the essential role of his neshama. There's a pagam, as they would say, a blemish in the neshama. There's a fundamental flaw. There's a fundamental problem. It's not just a little ancillary thing a person did in Avera. If a person's back in the world, it's because there's a fundamental flaw in his neshama that he has to fix.
So is that... So people who pass away, is it because they've already completed their mission in life? Or sometimes is it for like the qual to be able to see, okay, we have to wake up?
I'll tell you this. There are sources that say that the way the Gilgulim work, and this is the source for baseball, three strikes and you're out. Pam Shalish and Gaber, that pasuk, means that you get three chances. And that's quoted in Kabbalah. Those are punishments, that a person may have to be punished in a certain way and suffer in a certain way, whatever. But we're talking Gilgulim, that a person comes back with the opportunity to fix what's the fundamental pagam, a flaw, that his neshama didn't work out. Have you ever heard of Rav Shalom Shvadron? Rav Shalom Shvadron was basically, you guys have heard of Rabbi Pesach Kron? So he's like the Maggid in our days. He tells stories. And the way he gives over messages is by telling stories. Story after story that brings out a message. And he learned that approach from Rav Shalom Shvadron. Rav Shalom Shvadron was in Eretz Yisrael. And Friday nights, a place called Zichron Moshe, he used to give a shmooze. Now, in those days in general, didn't have entertainment like we have. And Friday night, I mean, you can't even be watching anything. It's Friday night, Shabbos. People used to come to be entertained with the Musar Shmooze of Rosh Hashanah Shvadron because he was very entertaining. And they would bring their Gari Nim and be listening to Musar while they pop the popcorn, the Gari Nim, the popcorn of Eretz Yisrael, into their mouths. And he was giving, I mean, he was entertaining, but his message was a message of change and growth, of Musar. And eventually he got disillusioned. And he stopped giving the shir because he didn't want to be just an entertainer. He wanted to have an impact. And he felt he'd just become an entertainer. So he stopped giving the shir. A gentleman approached him sometime later and said, "Why did you stop giving the shir, Rabbi?" So he said, I'm not here to be a comedian. I'm not here to be an entertainer. He says, "Rabbi, I just want you to know you changed my life." "Rabbi, I suffer from many, many diseases and debilitating issues in my body. I was depressed and ready to throw in the towel. And then I heard you tell this story." Rachmana Litzlan, there was parents, and the mother gave birth to a child with a deformity. He had no hands. Life was very challenging. And as he got older, it became more challenging and more depressing. Couldn't get a shidduch. So as he got older, he got very, very depressed. And one night he had a dream. And in his dream, he had the zuchus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show him what's pshat in your life. In a previous Gilgal, this fellow was a massive Talmud Chacham, a Goyin Adir, knew Kol HaTorah Kula, was a master. And when he died, the Beis Din Shel Ma'ala said, we're not letting him in to Gan Eden. Why? Because he had one fundamental flaw. Whenever somebody would say something he thought was an emistic in Torah, he smacked them. He used his hands. And he was a little bit of a kasson. He had an anger there. And he used his hands to express it.
But everything else was good.
Everything else was good. His Torah was incredible. But because he was such a Talmud Chacham, it was a flaw. That's a flaw in the Talmud Chacham. And they wanted to let him into the highest levels, and they said, no. So they said, we're sending you back. And the neshama freaked out. Because, but this is who I am. What's going to happen? I'm just going to do it again. And then I'm not going to get it. What if I mess up? This isn't an opportunity. This is that. And if I don't, then I can just make it worse. Please send me back without hands. And they said, no. That's not a challenge. Please! So they decided after deliberating that as a special dispensation, because of his Torah, the suffering he'll go through because he won't have hands will count. And if you can manage it, not reject the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we'll let him. He didn't kick him, apparently. Didn't kick.
20 years
ago. No.
So the baby was born without hands. And it changed his life. Now he realized why he doesn't have hands. And he realized what his purpose was to be back. And he was able to go further. And he was able to finish the job. So the man turns to Shalom Shvadran and he said, you saved my life. I have hands, but that's about it. They say that the Chazon Ish would stand up for special needs children. Because if they're back and they don't have much, if any, das, it means all they're really here to do is just to be alive for a little bit longer. Sometimes, Rahmana Litzlan, there's a baby that dies after a very short time. All that neshama needed to do was to be born. Chazal tell us that once a baby is born, yesh lo chelek lo olam haba. All you have to do is be born. Some people like us, Baruch Hashem, we have lots of das. We've probably got a lot of work to do. So how do we know why we're here? How do we know what our tikkun is for our neshama, for all gilgulim, bizman hazeh? So what's the answer? What's your maksiv bo? What's our maksiv bo? What's the biggest challenge that we have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah? What's our biggest challenge with our Yetzer Hara? Well, then that's our maksiv bo. Rasher Zelig says, can you imagine a wife sends her husband to the store? She says, I want you to go to the store and buy milk, cheese, eggs. So he goes to the store, and what does he come back with?
Milk.
He comes back with cheese and eggs and bread. And she says, milk, cheese, and eggs. Go back! Get what I need! He goes back to the store and he comes back with
bread,
cheese, and eggs. Milk! Milk! Bread's good. Satisfies you. It's good, you know? Gotta have some carbs in there. Milk, cheese, and eggs. Go back. Bread. Milk! We'll all be rewarded for whatever we bring back after our Gilgul. But if we didn't do what we were supposed to do, I sent you back for the milk, not the bread.
Yeah, but if she sends him to the store and said, come back, and he asks, what do you want? And she goes, eh, go figure it out.
So Moshe Zelig said he had a Talmud that came back to him after he spoke to him and he said, Rabbi, I got about 20 of these Maksimba. Okay, you know, you may be right about that. But there's one of that.
It sounds like some.
He said there's one. There's got to be one. There's got to be one that's like fundamental. There's got to be one. There's got to be one.
That's the problem.
More fundamental.
There's way more than one. It's like a nursery trick to get you like always trying to. I don't. It sounds very fishy. It sounds very childlike. It's like something you would tell a child, so he would always look at what he's doing bad and try to do good. I don't think necessarily because of one thing you were sent back. But like, it's a way to have you look at yourself and constantly like, okay, I'm doing this wrong, Everything's hard.
See, that's the thing. Is that there? I think we all, if we look into ourselves, see that there are certain things, and sometimes we feel there's several of them. But it's not a ton of things. We know there are things that are easy for us. Everyone has things that are natural to them. No? But there's certain things that are very challenging.
Usually,
and we're like constantly stumbling.
I'll say usually. I'll speak for myself. There are more things that are challenging than what you did. Yeah, it's easy to kiss and you lose, because it's not a problem. But there are plenty of things. Plenty.
So you're the one that says I got 20 of them, Rabbi. Okay.
201.
But you know what they are?
I don't. I
said
200.
200
is just like.
But the Yisoid at the end of the day is that that's all based on the Arizal. That once the Arizal said we're Gilgulim, then it must be there's something that we have to be Masakim.
It's hard. Like, how can you pinpoint? It's probably so difficult to pinpoint exactly what is.
Really?
I'm so much about in this world.
No, but that's not even the only reason you
I think we all have things that we feel we're trying to work on. And we're not doing a good job. There's certain things that we really, really struggle with more than others. And those are the things that we have to look to the Torah and say, okay, you know, enough with me saying, this is just a problem I have, let's focus on other things. Enough of that already. It's time to say, well, then that's why I'm here. You know, there comes a certain point where you have a person in a relationship and the girl finally says to him, you know, I'm fed up, I'm leaving you. And then he realizes that this fundamental flaw, he's been ignoring it. And he's got to work on it. He's going to lose his family. So Rav Asher Zelig finished by saying, we're getting messages all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always directing us. You know, this morning was another one of those days. Yesterday, they canceled the buses. Today, 2-hour delay. I don't know which one's worse. If the buses are canceled, then I know I'm just going to bring Shefa with me and she's going to be here like yesterday. When it's a 2-hour delay, what do? I got to try to find someplace else for her to go. So I started contacting my regular people. Can Shefa stay by you until the bus comes? Nobody answered me. I was getting quite stressed out. As time was passing, I got to get to Shiva, I got to leave. So finally I called one more person and it was sort of like a last resort. I didn't really expect it to work. But I figured, well, I gotta try. You know, what's your story this morning? Oh, no problem. I'm not going to work until 12. Great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his plan the whole time. I didn't know what it was. But what's the point of getting stressed out when you know it's gonna work out in one way or another? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his plan the whole time. We stress ourselves out because we're like, what's gonna be? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just laughing. I'll tell you what you're going to do, you know. Just wait a minute. I'll let you know. But first, you got to go through a little stress for a couple minutes. And then you'll see. But that's life is like that.
So you wouldn't stress out about life. I don't believe that you would do a lot of the things that you do. You're going to chalk up.
Imagine, instead of me being stressed out, I just had the confident bitachon that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. So instead of just getting nervous and getting agitated and screaming at the kids and saying, we gotta go, what are you doing? I don't know why you're doing that, because I'm stressed out, I would be serene. I'll be like, okay, we'll figure it out.
Stressed out doesn't mean you have to become a mess.
But that's what happens. What happens is that stress, because it's something that we're not really supposed to feel when we really have bitachon, leads only to bad things. So we're always being sent messages, how to work on ourselves, how to change things. The only question is, do we hear the messages?
No.
And we'll finish with this mashal. You'll probably experience this soon enough. There's a husband and a wife. She doesn't hear very well. He has super hearing. She has a baby. They both go to sleep. The baby's sleeping in the other room. In the middle of the night, the baby starts to cry. Mr. Super Hearing doesn't hear him. And Mrs. Hard of Hearing does. Without exception, that's the way it works. And the Shaila is why. You know, it's like no man ever hears the baby cry. So what's the reason? Because he doesn't want to hear. Because he wants to sleep. And that's the shaila we have to ask about ourselves. We all have a maksiv ba. This expires as the parsha of Naaseh v'Nishma. And we don't say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you everything chutz from my maksiv ba. But it's the opposite. Is that our maksiv ba is why we're here. And that's what we're going to use the Torah to address. And we have to listen to all of the messages and not want to go back to sleep and not say, well, you know, whatever, that's just who I am. That's my problem. If that's our problem, then that's what we're here to change. Shal b'zeiche, to use this week's parasha as a time of Kabbalah satira, as a time to always recognize what our maksivba is, to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's messages that are constantly coming our way, and to be able to use Shabbos to be a naaseh v'nishma, and our Kabbalah Satara is to help us with our Yetzer Hara and to help us even sakin ourselves so that we should all be hitting home runs. And when we leave this world, Lachar Me'ev Esrim, we go straight to Gan Eden, straight to Olam Haba, because we fix whatever it is that we're here to fix.